T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome to Overnight America. Wow, I'm getting a little bit more confidence, getting louder in the house. This is what the wife tells me. She's like, I'm starting to get used to you being down in this basement. Yeah, day 3 broadcasting, and I've decided that today's sponsor will be Rex Davis, the great KMOX newsman. So Rex Davis Basement Studios joining you here tonight until we have an official basement studio sponsor. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us here tonight, and I'll be live until 1 o'clock. That means we're going to take your phone calls. I have a lot of guests lined up, including one guest, the editor of the Catholic Exchange. His name is Michael Litchens. And he's wrote a book, The Devil is Afraid of Me, The Life and Work of the World's Most Famous Exorcist. I don't think he actually wrote this one, but he contributed to it. But when I heard about this Father Gabriel Amorth, I learned a few things about him. Apparently, he was the man they would send out, and I'm all about hearing stories like that. So he's going to join us in about 10 minutes live here on Overnight America. We got the Facebook page up and running. I'm going to have to get a new photo from our producer, Mike, who is now in the KMOX studios. I being in the basement in my sweatpants, wearing most likely the same clothes I wore from several days ago. But I have been posting photos online, and Ryan Recker Radio is how you can find it on Facebook. Yes, go like the page, please. If you're a Facebook user, it's fun. We can connect and message each other that way, or at Ryan Recker on Twitter. So day 3 working from home. Every day there's something a little bit new when I'm spending more time with the family. This time around, my son decides to write a song about me. You want to guess? You want to guess what he writes about? All right. I pulled out my phone and I started recording so I can capture some of it.
Here we go. You got a big fat belly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got a big fat belly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got a big fat belly, yeah, yeah, yeah. Got a big fat belly, yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so I think we have a future singer-songwriter here. So his song, and I don't know if you can tell this from the recording, he is slapping my stomach when he's singing this. You got a big fat belly, yeah, yeah, yeah. This is day 3 working from home. How long is this going to last? Oh, boy.
Here we go. You got a big fat belly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got a big fat belly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got a big fat belly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got a big fat belly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pretty good, huh? Like I say, he's got a bright future. Soon he's going to have to put down a track underneath that, but honestly, with the way some of this pop music is written now, it's not that far off from anything that would be popularized in today's culture. Man, we got so much to get to on the show today. And yeah, we will take some of your calls. It is a Thursday night into Friday, which means we try to keep things a little bit more flexible. So money's coming your way, what you need to know about that. We're going to also talk to Jamie Metzl, author of Hacking Darwin. very fascinating look. So he was originally scheduled to come to the Jewish Book Festival here in St. Louis, which is at the start of April. However, you know, they postponed everything, just like everything else, but I still wanted to have him on. That hacking Darwin's fascinating. We talk a lot about the coronavirus, but in general, the ethics of hacking DNA, and he's got some interesting insights. He's actually part of the World Health Organization. He's part of the advisory committee, so he's got a lot of great insights into that. Also, we're going to look at the unemployment. We're going to look at the markets. Things have been pretty strong today. Wow, what a rebound these last couple of days. We'll also talk to a psychotherapist and a best-selling author, Dr. Patty Ashley, on the show later tonight. A patriotic song before we end the day. And, of course, you know what happens on Thursday night and Friday. Something very, very good happens. Oh, you know what it is. If you've listened to this show before, you know. It'll actually be Friday tonight that we get to play it. You're right. So we're going to do all of those things and so much to get to. I'll get the texting up here if you want to give me a text message at 436-7900. Michael Litchens is going to come up next, editor of the Catholic Exchange, author, and, well, I don't know if he's the main author, but Devil is Afraid of Me. It's a story of the world's most infamous exorcist. We're going to talk to him about some of their stories next on Overnight America KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts, michaelsflooringoutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. And yes, I do have the texting up if you want to give us a text message at 314-436-7900. I'm still from my basement. It's the last show of the week. Got a lot planned today. I look forward to taking your calls in just a little bit. But before we do that, I want to welcome our guest, the editor of the Catholic Exchange, Michael Litchens. Thank you for coming on to Overnight America.
Thank you, Ryan. It's awesome to be here.
You guys sent me a copy of the book, The Devil is Afraid of Me, Father Gabriel Amorth. This is a fascinating story. I got to say, how do you describe someone that would be perhaps the most infamous exorcist?
Well, I mean, I think calling him an exorcist that people would know is a great way to describe him because, well, exorcists aren't exactly celebrity figures in any day and age. But other than that, I would describe Father Amorth as a very prolific writer, speaker, but most famously as an exorcist and healer within Rome. And the inspiration for more than a few exorcists themselves.
Yeah, and part of the lore of him is the sheer number, the quantity that he participated in. So was it his first one was in 97 or something around, it was like late 1990s, and then over the course of his career performed tens of thousands, is that right?
Yes, it's important to remember that an exorcism can last as long as just a few minutes with the prayer of liberation from the exorcist. I've often joked we should do just a 5-minute exorcism outside of Capitol Hill, but that's just me. But they can go anywhere from 5 minutes to a couple hours. But yeah, in the last few years of his life, he was still seeing close to 14 people a day. And that was when he was, quote unquote, taking a break. And so very tireless, the worker. And that's why those numbers can get really I don't even know how to describe those numbers, but yeah, it's quite high.
Yeah. Okay, so can you, because I think a lot of people have maybe a guess of what goes on during an exorcism.
Sure.
So is there like a, do you need to have like an official capacity in the Catholic Church before you perform one of these? Or like what, tell me just the procedure in general of what would happen.
Absolutely. So there is, of course, like all Catholic rituals out there, we do in fact have a book that's the Roman Rite of Exorcism. And the way that most dioceses have it is we have an exorcist within each Catholic diocese. Traditionally, not every diocese is able to do that. And this exorcist is more and more now actually flies to Rome to learn how to become an exorcist, to learn about the prayers and the rituals. And then they are assigned to a diocese. Most often their names are kept private for various reasons, but they then act as the spiritual healer of sorts in the community, especially when dealing with demonic or ritual activity of some kind. And like I said, currently, Father Amorth, one of his great innovations was starting the International Association of Exorcists, where they do, in fact, have formal classes and a formal training mechanism in Rome that is to train more exorcists for the Roman Catholic Church.
Wow. Okay, so how many members of that organization?
Oh, gosh. I'm not aware. I know that they have trained just over about 100 priests. I'm not 100% sure, actually, of the official numbers, though, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah. So is that something where, like, let's say here in the United States, because I believe Father Amorth was primarily just in the Rome area?
He was, he was from Naples, but he was attached to the Archdiocese of Rome, so he was very much in Rome most of his career as an exorcist.
So, like, here in the United States, is it that each diocese has their own person they call on? How is it organized that someone locally were to try to figure out, like, okay, to request, like, the services of an exorcist?
Many people will start, and this is usually fine for the vast majority of people. You can call your local priest to common occurrence that where people might call their priest. This sounds like something straight from a horror novel, but things are moving around in your house. You're getting some poltergeist activity. Your first step would be just to call a priest to have bless your house. Many Catholics still have their houses blessed when they moved into them, so that's not an uncommon request. You might have them also pray particular prayers of liberation. But if that does not quite work, if there is something more going on or the priest needs greater expertise, that's when the diocese is usually contacted. Now, again, not every diocese currently has an exorcist. The ideal is that they would have at least one on hand who is doing his other priestly activities, whether it's as a parish minister or working at particular missions, but also is trained in the Roman rite of exorcism. And so from there, the diocese will contact the exorcist to determine if full exorcism is needed. Usually there's a psychiatrist that people have to speak with if it's a personal exorcism, say on a person, to test for any mental issues that may be causing them to see demons, or to make sure that this is actually supernatural and not something that a physical doctor really needs to work on. And from there, if it's approved, an exorcism can be undertaken.
You know, Michael Litchens is joining us, editor of Catholic Exchange. We're discussing the book, The Devil Is Afraid of Me, The Life and Work of the World's Most Famous Exorcist, which is the subject here, Father Amorth. So what are some of those individual stories of him, things that stand out you as just, because there's so many different stories and questions that are answered inside of this book, but what are some of those that stand out to you?
I would say it's one of his, in fact, I think it was his very first exorcism as within the book, Father Marcello Stazioni, who's an angelologist and Italian priest and exorcist, tells a story of when Father Amorth was on his first exorcism, and it was a young man who was exhibiting a lot of physical symptoms. His voice would suddenly change, his eyes would roll back, and they'd hear just the deepest, rumbliest voice coming through. And this was on top of physical changes that would happen that Father Amorth noticed. He would start his prayer to St. Michael, or he would even make the sign of the cross. The room would go cold, and Father Amorth would know it was not just in his head, because he would see ice forming, little crystals on the window. But in this particular first exorcism, oftentimes an exorcist will ask the demons to identify themselves. And this one said Lucifer when Father Amorth asked, and that was not the name he was expecting to hear. As anyone who knows, Lucifer is among the names of the devil, the angel of damnation that was possessing this young man. And almost immediately, the moment Father Amorth got the name, the young man started going stiff, arching his back and turning his head in unhuman ways, and even at one point levitating. And I just think, especially as a first exorcism, it's like, okay, this kind of explains why his writing gets to be the way it is.
You know, what I read too, so did Father Amorth have an exorcism room in his house?
He did, as a matter of fact, yes.
Yeah, that must have been interesting when he passed away, when they go to sell the property. I'm sure there's family members that have to describe that to people coming through and taking a look at the place.
Yeah, well, they not only have to do that. There's his personal goods. In many ways, it was his office space that they had to deal with. But more than anything, what fascinated me about Father Amorth was the amount of letters and correspondence he had when he died, because, again, just a tireless worker who often, despite being very busy, if you wrote to him, there was a slight he mostly only spoke Italian, but if you were lucky enough to be able to find an address and write to him, he would often write you back. And so there were so many letters found throughout his personal effects that, again, wow, we still have no idea how hardworking he was.
He sounds like, if he was able to do as many as he's done, you know, the tens of thousands. What's interesting to me is sometimes these cases would last over the course of several years. There was instances, yes, where someone would start in their early teens, and it wouldn't be until their early 20s or so that before. So the long distance, how long it would take for some of these exorcisms to take, that really surprised me, because you get this impression that, you know, the tough ones would last a couple of days or something like that. But we're talking even the course of years sometimes. Mm-hmm. So,
and those are very much the extreme cases. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, well, talking about those extreme cases, what are some of those extreme cases you've seen?
Well, I'm glad to say I've never seen any particular demonic possession, so going to keep rolling the dice on that one. Within Father Amorth's book, I think what, for me, and of course every person is a little different, but for me, the strangest cases would be the several times he mentions that out the book, like how did they first get any demonic interest in them at all? And yeah, there's the classic stories, played with the Ouija board, tried to play around with spiritualism, did not have a good ending. But there's one young woman who was literally cursed by her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law went, found someone who did magical spells for pay, which is not an uncommon thing to find in Italy if you're looking hard enough. And sure enough, this young woman started having first experienced poltergeist activity, extreme emotional states. There was the temperature changes in the house. And as Father Amorth was performing the exorcism over the year, he found that the demons entered through a spell procured by the mother-in-law. Huh. And there are definitely more dramatic exorcisms, but that for me was just, oh my gosh, terrifying. But,
well, to think that something like that could happen. So how about the idea, mm-hmm, that someone else could bring this on to someone else? Normally, when you hear that, you think about the you know, the old tales that they have, the fairy, mm-hmm, tales of you know, they put a doll together and they stick the pins in them and things like that.
Yep.
It almost sounds very similar to those type of rituals, but you've seen instances where people would wish on spirits to someone else and that it would take?
Yes, and like I said, this is actually, believe it or not, this is something that you can find in Italy, that people who are professional wizards, witches, whatever you want to call them, who can actually cast spells for you. We may not see this as often in America unless you're looking in early colonial America. But yes, absolutely, people will seek out spells and do evil. Now, Father Amorth notes that almost all of these people are charlatans and nothing quite happens. Many people who practice magical spells don't necessarily want to curse anyone either, because the curses can come back upon them. But yes, some people will seek out, and once in a while, the lucky, I don't even like to say lucky, but the wizards or the witches will be successful in sending a spirit upon someone. And in those cases, usually, if your prayer life is fine, if you're the sort of person who makes a sign of the cross or even just prays an Our Father, you're usually, Father would say, almost but all immune. But there were those cases that he particularly had where the exorcism would last years because the curse was that successful.
Yeah. So what's interesting, the cultural differences. Why do you think that's so culturally available in other countries, but we don't see that here in the United States?
And I think we're starting to see that here in the United States, and really it comes down to, it depends on which cultures have just been there so long. We're such a young country. We do have weird traditions of like folk magic and things like that, but in Italy you also have the cultural stereotypes that can feed into the magical spells. So you get this idea that I'm going to go to the Romani people because the Romani people have the evil eye, which it's such strangeness to think even, and I'm going to pay this old Romani woman to cast this spell. And that's, I think, where you get a lot of it is just the cultural expectations of the minority population and what you can get from them. Whereas we just don't have that here in, say, North America.
You know, what's interesting about the United States is that we're, the way things get into culture is a lot smoother. It's almost like we're trained to adapt it so much easier, as in it just becomes part of our lifestyle. There's so much ungodly things that happen here, and people are just... you know, they're complicit with it. They're like, okay, it's just the way it is or whatever. So they're okay to adopt these sort of things. And yeah, you go back into history and you think, never in the world would I imagine all of these things would be coming into the home and no one would be batting an eye at it. Do you mind holding on after the break? I'd like to keep talking to you about the book.
Oh, I'm always delighted to talk about Father Amorth, please.
Yes, the editor of Catholic Exchange, Michael Litchens, is joining us. The book is The Devil is Afraid of Me, The Life and Work of the World's Most Famous Exorcist. We're talking about this book, and we'll continue next on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Michael Litchens is the editor of Catholic Exchange. We're discussing the book, The Devil is Afraid of Me, The Life and Work of the World's Most Famous Exorcist. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight.
Oh, thank you for letting me talk about exorcisms with you today.
Yeah, I was talking to our producer just momentarily before we came on the air, and he wanted to know if this would be a good children's book to read before they go to bed at night.
I mean, it depends on what kind of children you want them to grow up to be, I suppose, but I would advise against that per se. Maybe someday I'll write Exorcism for Children, ABC, or something like that. We'll see.
You know, as you talk about the different stories and the documented stories from the world's most famous exorcist, are there certain signs that seem to be common between different people that would need exorcism?
I think there's a couple. I mean, the ones that I mentioned already that are pretty obvious. If you're having poltergeist activity, hearing disembodied voices, things of that nature, what I like to call the 70s horror movie genres. Mm-hmm. Those are often the signs, but like I said, one of the ways that they try to distinguish if a person needs an exorcism is through psychiatric care, because, well, I have mental illness that goes through our family, and it can sometimes be a distinction that people need to make, and that's when you need a professional psychiatrist to make the diagnosis for that. So what a lot of people wonder is then what's the difference between, say, just mentally ill or something that's occurring. And the big one is if other people are experiencing the occurrences and seeing them, or they even notice a person is just off. Another case can be radical changes in behavior, such as just, young woman was just fine. She had a great relationship with her husband. Parents suddenly is cutting off all contact, barely bathes. And again, this is where also some professionals need to come in with their insights as well. And those are the most common cases you might find. But once the supernatural elements start, that's really when you have knowledge that, okay, this is something beyond just a person having a rough week or got a little too into drinking suddenly.
So a lot of times you would say, like, a priest may show up, but they may be the gateway to some psychiatric help. They may recognize pretty quickly that would be the best course of action to take next.
Absolutely. And sometimes, well, we all need healing in some degree or another. Just the healing's going to look a little different. And that's definitely a thing that can happen. I've interviewed a couple psychiatrists throughout the United States. Of course, I'm not allowed to say who they are, but whose job is to interview patients who might be in need of an exorcism. And sometimes they don't need an exorcism. They need some serious psychological help. And honestly, as long as they get healing, for me, I think our mission is done, as long as we find them healing, whatever that healing looks like.
Yeah, you know, in pop culture, this doesn't necessarily have to do with exorcisms, but to television shows, mm-hmm. movies, if there was an individual that had a certain connection to things that other people can't see, it seems like the work would always follow them. People, you know, mm-hmm. you see these things where it's like they're always, you know, being bombarded with all these different messages and things like that. So for Gabriel Amorth, you know, we're talking about the world's most famous exorcist, was he always haunted by this? Was he ever off the clock?
He would say absolutely not. A priest never rests, and that goes for whether he was a parish priest long before he was an exorcist. And mm-hmm. For him, there's no such thing as, you know, a priest can't be taking a weekend and not be a priest. And with particularly exorcisms, he often talked about one of the terrifying things he learned from his mentor in exorcisms is that they are constantly bombarded. If it's not by people, say certain practicing occultists will find out there's an exorcist in town and will try to disrupt their life with various spells, leaving things for them to find that it can be kind of terrifying if you're involved in spiritual warfare. And of course, as Father Amorth said, we made this title, The Devil is Afraid of Me. That was a proposed idea for his column. But in fact, devils didn't often know who he was when he was performing exorcisms. And that is a terrifying idea. It's kind of like the old jokes about the mafia. You don't want them to know who you are if mm-hmm. you can help it. In this case, it's a little more of a supernatural problem. And so Father Amorth would often encounter people who are leaving spells, and occasionally he'd find supernatural events happening around him. So no, he was always on.
So one last question for you about the book,
Please.
The Devil is Afraid of Me. You know, I'm wondering if there was a takeaway message, something a little bit more positive or uplifting or
yes.
optimistic that you'd be able to take away after checking a book like this out.
Honestly, throughout the entire book, for me, one of the reasons why Father Amorth is such a delightful read, especially if you're a practicing Christian at all, is he has this one phrase that he repeats often, and that is, the devil is nothing against the mercy of God. And throughout Father Amorth, if you ever asked him, well, how did you become such a great exorcist? He'd tell you he's just acting in the person of Christ. Ultimately, God's in control of everything. And as long as you're trying, as long as you're seeking out God, no matter what happens to you, chances are you're not going to be possessed. No one here listening is going to get possessed by a devil. I'm almost certain. But even if that is to occur, the thing we must always remember is that God's in control and that he is trying to bring about our good, even when it seems like all hope is lost. God is working through us and bringing us to a greater peace. And that,
that's
I think,
awesome.
Is the ultimate message.
So if people wanted to check the book out, times are a little bit different now with the way our
yeah.
habits and buying. So I'm guessing online might be the best way to check this one out.
Yeah, if you go to it's published through Sophia Institute Press. You can get it through almost all your favorite online bookstores as an ebook. We have a couple free excerpts available for you at CatholicExchange.com. If you go there, you'll see some links for The Devil is Afraid of Me. And by all means, I encourage you to give it a read. Those are free for you while you have to sit inside in quarantine. And
yeah.
if you can find the ebook or anything like that, please give it a read.
Michael Litchens, editor of Catholic Exchange, CatholicExchange.com. You can find some excerpts of The Devil is Afraid of Me. Thank you so much for spending time with us tonight on Overnight America. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ryan, and God bless all you all in St. Louis.
Thank you. God bless. Yeah, it feels good not to talk about a virus for a couple minutes. Oh, look at that. That's exactly what we're going to do next on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.